From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning, as we do every Thursday. We're going to talk with one Jeffrey Wright, doing some college football picks. We're going to talk a little golf. We're going to talk about how Jeffrey hurt himself while not moving, which takes talent that only Jeffrey can pull off. So that and more on today's show. We got a complaint to go through from the Tom Mars Houston Nut thing. Neil has gone from journalist number three to fan-based journalist now, so we've moved up in the world.
I have to admit, I liked the moniker journalist number three better than fan-based journalist. Now that we get through joking, and we're going to get to this in a minute, it is absolutely comical. Not into the who's a fan thing. That Houston Nut, of all the people I've ever covered, would, via his attorney, the former Walmart attorney, describe me as a fan-based journalist. Houston Nutt actively campaigned against me for 4 years based on me being, quote, and I quote, bad for the program, end quote.
He called Godfrey one, too. So, I mean, you're in company. You're not the only one.
Called Godfrey a fan, but
yeah.
It's a funny thing, in all seriousness, the obsession with fandom. I've always been amazed by it. As someone who is a fan of the Cubs, for example, I don't really care if Sahadev Sharma is a fan or not. It just doesn't matter to me. I've never cared if Paul Sullivan deep down loves the Cubs or deep down hates the Cubs. I read his stuff.
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll start with some of that. It is the only really news thing going on. Ole Miss Vanderbilt 2:30.
You're a Saints fan. Does it matter to you whether Jeff Duncan or Larry Holder is a fan or not?
Duncan bothers me because he gets emotional about it, to me. At least that's what it comes across to me.
All right.
And it's in both directions. So he goes really, really positive and really, really negative as his own emotions move, and it bugs me. I don't follow him much because of that. It drives me nuts.
Does it? Who's you read Saints stuff, if you go to read?
I read pretty much everybody else down in NOLA.com. I mean, that's really the only place I go for major stuff. And I don't read a lot. I'm bad on just kind of catching Twitter pieces and clicking on ESPN articles and they pop up and things like that. But
do you care if they're fans or not?
No. I kind of prefer them not being. If I had to pick.
Right.
But, you know, and again, that doesn't mean I want them antagonistic.
No, of course not.
Just, okay, fine, report, move on.
Let's go with it.
Anyway, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon. They picked the free gas for a year winner yesterday. So that person, free gas for a year. Still, though, free gas Fridays are going to give away to three people on Friday over the weekend when you're in town for the football game. You have a chance to be one of three to receive a free tank of gas with the Oxford Exxon. Use the Plenty card so you get to that LSU giveaway, PLENTI.com. Remember to stop by for your catering needs with the Oxford Exxon. Big thing on Saturday. You can get a couple slabs of ribs. You can get some pulled pork buns and a couple sides that are at least a quart in size. So if you need some late catering options, the Oxford Exxon is the place to go there with four great specials for your catering for the Grove on Saturday. And again, to be coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggling. Not going to try to screw you over on price. He's just going to give you a quote. You can take that quote, and you can shop it around. Make you feel better. You're going to end up finding that the quote he gave you was the best one right off the top. And then you're going to let Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You're going to love the product you get. You're going to love the service. You're going to love the experience. Then you're going to tell your friends because that's what happens. It's worked. 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Oh, and at the end of your deal, tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Any of the above, $500 off the bottom line just for saying that's how you heard about Clark Ford.
All right, so we mentioned the Tom Mars Houston Nutt suit. It was refiled yesterday in the correct court in Lafayette County. And it's interesting reading. A couple different things on it as we move forward. Reminders on this, it is a plaintiff summary, basically. So it's going to be biased in the form of the client. That's how these things work. It's something that always has to be mentioned as we've here lately covered so much court stuff, more than we probably have in 10 years combined in the last 6 months or so with different things with Ole Miss. When these come out, they are built around the argument of that side. So these are not unbiased documents. They're not things to take in totality. However, there are things to be taken from them. So we'll talk about it days and weeks ahead. If it matters, frankly, it involves people no longer at Ole Miss, and it is what it is, but we will mention it as appropriate. But number 52 was the part that we were mentioning earlier. And I gave Neil another one later on in the document, but I don't have it in front of me at the moment. I'll get it in a minute.
Okay.
71, 72, something like that.
It's bullet point 71, right?
Did you go down and check it out too?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, chief among...
You did not follow me on Twitter yesterday?
I did, but I wasn't sure if you were talking about this or the rest of it. I was not paying attention to your exact minutia.
I did story time with
I saw with that. Neil. I saw that. We'll go there. Chief among 40's critics was Neil McCready, seen as McCready hereafter. A, quote, fan base, unquote, journalist whose loyalty to Ole Miss was common knowledge among sports reporters. We all knew it. The following excerpt from the story McCready posted on a Sunday, October 3rd, 2014. October 3rd, 2014. A year and a half, almost, prior to the first NOA, by the way. Love the way back revisionist history here. But anyway.
Yeah, you don't think this was a favor to somebody,
October 3rd, 2014, illustrates just how far he and other, quote, fan base, end quote, journalists were willing to go when A.D. Bjork or Coach Freeze asked for their help in reshaping bad news for Ole Miss. You're on the take.
On a very small scale, I know how, like, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, people like that feel. On a very small scale. I realize I'm nowhere near, even in the ballpark, of as successful as those people are. But you can't win. It's a 10-year body of work for me covering Ole Miss. I'll be honest, when I took this job, I thought I'd be 2-3 years here. I've been here 10 years. 10-year body of work. I realize it's just a lawsuit. That's an insult. It's fine.
It's a persuasive document. I mean, it's nothing that really matters for the most part.
I don't even know why it's in there. I mean, I do know why it's in there. It's in there as a favor to Pat Forty. There's Pat Forty and well, particularly Pat.
Well, and it's in there to shape his thing. I mean, he goes at Godfrey later. They kind of at least phrase Matt Wyatt as an advocate in there, as someone who was harmed in this. It's a persuasive document. You pick out everybody that you can pick out. I mean, they went after the Clarion Ledger in here. Anybody you could pick out to say, oh, no, look, they were all in cahoots. This is why my client was defamed or whatever it is they're asking for. So, I mean, I get why it's in there. It's just ridiculous language is the most part as we look at it. But
like I said, for Houston Nutt to refer to me in that regard is funny, because when he was here, he actively went after me. Booster clubs, quarterback clubs. I mean, there was
LSI hats.
That was funny. But he went after me aggressively for 4 years. Well, really one of the reasons that my relationship with Ole Miss is generally negative. Because the groundwork was laid. I mean, my first day on the job was the day before his first spring training practice. Those were my first 4 years here. Hard to believe, isn't it, that he's been gone that long?
Yeah.
But that shaped a lot of the fan perception of me. Certainly shaped an administrative perception of me. He's a small dude, Houston Nutt.
The other part, while we're just finishing for completion here, number 71. Again, everything's kind of in bullet point. You can read the full file at rebelgrove.com. I linked it in. It's embedded into a message board post, so you can read the entire complaint if you would like. But here's number 71. On the same day that Coach Freeze called Wyatt, he and A.D. Bjork learned of a rumor circulating in Oxford to the effect that Chris Kiffin, the Ole Miss defensive line coach, would soon be leaving Ole Miss to join another college coaching staff. With National Signing Day just around the corner, both Coach Freeze and A.D. Bjork were concerned the rumor about Kiffin might impede their ability to sign certain top-rated prospects from whom Coach Freeze was hoping to get commitments during the upcoming weekend recruiting event. At 5:24 p.m. that afternoon, having already spoken with Wyatt, Coach Freeze called McCready, the local, quote, fan-based reporter who had trashed Forty's breaking news story in early October 2014. The phone conversation between Freeze and McCready lasted 7 minutes. During their conversation, Freeze asked McCready to help knock down the rumor about Kiffin. Coach Freeze also gave McCready a false and misleading preview of the NCAA would soon be alleging about rule violations at Ole Miss.
Hey, let me stop a minute because I'm going to do this right here. I don't recall the specifics of the conversation. If I recall, I don't even remember Chris Kiffin coming up, but if he did, it was me asking, hey, is Kiffin leaving? And him must have saying, well, he's not leaving. Well, he didn't leave. Now, did Hugh Freeze and I talk about the NCAA investigation? Yes. There's no point in me not saying it here. We did in that conversation. Now, it was not a long conversation.
7 minutes.
So on a Friday evening.
This is early 17?
No, this is early 16. Right?
Hold on.
This is 16. They had that big weekend, and the story breaks on a Friday. Basketball team was in Kansas at Kansas State.
What's weird about that, though, and this is where I'm – yeah, you're right. I mean – I got confused here because let me finish this as you can continue on. No, you're fine. Number 72. At 8:42 p.m., Freeze called A.D. Bjork, and they had a conversation that lasted 8 minutes. Coach Nutt alleges on information and belief that Freeze used most of the 8 minutes to brief Bjork on what he had told McCready a few hours earlier. The next day at 5:51 p.m., McCready tweeted, I asked Coach Freeze about the Chris Kiffin rumor. Not true, he said. A.D. Bjork replied to McCready's tweet at 6:05 p.m. and said, quote, amazing you have to spend 1 second on this stuff. Must be close to signing day, end quote. Kiffin left Ole Miss later that year to join his brother Lane at FAU. He didn't join Lane till the end of last year. It wasn't later that year.
Well, it was technically December of 16, after the season. So that's misleading language.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with that situation whatsoever.
This conversation occurred in January of 16, and he left in December of 16 to join his brother.
Yeah.
Late December, I might add.
After another season that didn't go
so
well.
So technically it did happen later that year, but in football terms, it happened a year later.
Had no bearing whatsoever on that conversation.
And again, the rumor was that Kiffin was leaving then, I think, to go to the Cowboys or something.
Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah.
And I do remember asking, hey, is this any truth to Kiffin? Which is sort of how this works, boys and girls. I mean, you know, I didn't get to do this with Houston Nutt because, quite frankly, we didn't have a relationship. I'm going to tell you when I backtrack a little story time with Houston Nutt.
You're fine.
So when I took the job, it was – God, I guess I accepted it in January of 08. And I came up here sometime in February of 08 and sat down with Nutt. Introduced myself, say hello.
Pretty standard.
Nutt had been on my radio show in Mobile a couple of times. We'd had fun one day on the radio show about all of his text messages.
Not with him, just separate. No,
just in general.
Again, normal radio stuff.
Typical stuff. Nothing anywhere near as crazy as others had done. But we had some fun with it. I mean, the guy was texting his girlfriend. I'm sorry, the news anchor.
Prior to the game.
During the damn warm-ups.
Yeah.
Of the Cotton Bowl. Houston was a big Cotton Bowl guy.
Is he in the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame?
It has to be.
I mean, Cut's in the Independence Bowl Hall of Fame. Yeah, so yeah. Is Houston in the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame?
I would think so. If not, we need to get on that. I sit down with him. And literally in the first minute, now he's icy towards me. You got a radio
show. Where are you at?
His office.
Okay.
You've got a radio show in Mobile, right?
Well, I did.
I did, yeah. You had a radio show in Mobile, right? Yeah. I knew right then. We could have stopped the conversation. I also knew that some other people here had said, hey, you got to be careful with this guy. He's dangerous. He's out to get Ole Miss. He hates Ole Miss. He's out to get Ole Miss. That seed had been planted. And I don't. Nuts easily influenced. Surrounds, insulates himself with people who tell him what he wants to hear. And I knew the damage was done. I knew this is. I remember driving back to Mobile going, what the hell have I done? Based on that conversation. Literally to the point of almost thinking, I wonder if I should go back to the register and rescind my notice.
So, in saying all that, there's a lot of misleading information, misleading language in this release, a complaint. That's kind of the design of it. There'll be a chance for, you know, responses and whatnot as this thing, I guess, moves forward. Guess it's likely or possible that Neil over here is deposed at some point.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it right here. Did we discuss the NCAA case? Yes. Did I ask, hey, what's in it? Yes. Was I told that it was mostly nut and women's basketball? Yes. Did I feel misled? Yes. Did it piss me off later? Yes. Was I taking talking points and running? No. I don't take talking points from Ole Miss or anyone else. Did I ever discuss this with Ross Bjork during that time frame? I did not. The assertion that Ross Bjork contacted me and formed talking points is patently false. There you go. You're welcome, Mr. Mars. You can save yourself a trip. You can save yourself the time. I don't think you and I will get along.
I think you just cost yourself whatever the per diem is for doing, you know, the
well, I suspect legal they'll want to get it on a different record. But okay. If you do, Mr. Mars, that's fine. Just let me know.
In saying all that, it's really interesting reading. Now, I'm not saying that really in a positive or negative way for anybody. Because what's funny about this is they do appear to have, I saw somewhere where they have a screenshot of a text message that shows some of what they are accusing of. However, there's a ton of speculation about what calls are about. Now, I get if you have five calls in a row and then 5 minutes after that, those five people all kind of put out the same thing. I get the context clues of how easy that is. But in a court of law, I would think, somebody can help me here, speculating to 100% of what any conversation is or is not about is very hard to prove.
Yes.
Well, they talked 7 minutes, and here's what they said.
Now, you can go back and look at what they wrote.
That's my point. I mean, right. You know, again, you know, you talk to Hugh, Matt talks to Hugh, Antonio Morales talks to Hugh, and then 10 minutes later, you guys all put out the exact same thing. Well, okay. I mean,
you can put two and two together.
I can start spinning my wheels a little bit, and I can get there. I'm curious at any response that comes to combat this, because on the all, I did find the document interesting. I'll say that. He is able to, at least persuasively in his argument, put together something where Now, look, to defame a public figure, you have to, if I remember my comm law class correctly back in the day, this was 2004, Lee Tyner taught it. He's actually a really good comm law teacher. It was one of my favorite classes. You have to say something that's false. You have to know it's false. And then you have to do it with malicious intent are the three categories, I believe, that are under scrutiny for that law.
And I don't think any of those apply because I don't think what they said was actually there are ways to interpret what they said as true. Now, it's spin. I don't think there was malicious intent. I don't think anyone even thought, let's harm Houston Nutt here. I think it was,
save a signing class.
Let's protect a signing class. That's what the thought was. I'll tell you what I think in hindsight, and again, this is hindsight, and I'm a day after watching game four, watching Joe Maddon burn John Lester, and I am in full hindsight mode. Hindsight was, it wasn't that bad of a document. There wasn't much in it. Remember, Chase, the narrative was, ooh, they cheated. Man, they bought all these kids. They bought Treadwell. They bought Kim Dichie. They bought Connor. They bought Golson. They bought Tunsil. Woo, loads of cash, baby. Remember the gift boy throwing the money out of the window? The reality is that document didn't support that at all. That document, written by the NCAA investigators, did not support that at all. I would have, had I been Ole Miss, hey, fellas, it's Friday afternoon. We have it right here. Come read.
Well, because when it was finally released in May, I was in Hoover. The SC baseball tournament was going on.
And I was driving to the beach.
And we're reading this thing, going through it, and at that point, we don't know that Tunsil and Miller are going to get into it. We don't know what else coming later. You got to realize the scope of time that we're talking about. And in that May morning, I looked at it and went, oh, my God, they're fine. This is not bad. They are going to escape all this, move on, and just keep going.
That's it. Ole Miss didn't on that Friday afternoon, perhaps it's because Bjork was in Kansas. Perhaps it's because they just couldn't reach a consensus. I would have said, come read it. Report on it. Please, God, report on it.
We're going to pass out copies to every parent in town this weekend and then explain it to them.
Yeah, please come report on it. The most damning thing in there is a booster gave Laramie Tunsil's stepdad $800 while he was already on campus. There is no pay for play in that document. None.
Yeah, Leo Lewis didn't exist yet.
Yeah, people get hung up on Lewis and stuff now. On that day, Leo Lewis was just...
Academic fraud, Lindsey Miller $800.
But the academic fraud was on Nutt.
Yeah. Loaner cars, I guess, were in that.
The loaner car, C.J. Hampton, and
some hotel stuff was in that,
which had an explanation for it.
That was about it. Now that I think back,
exactly.
It was a lot of Tunsil.
They didn't even have the Austin Golson hunting club thing.
No, it was a lot of Tunsil. Some loaner car stuff.
Academic fraud.
Yeah,
and I might be missing something. Yeah, but that was it. I would have said, come report. We don't have, you know, technically you have to send an FOI. Just come look at it. Y'all have that media workroom back there. You can't leave with it.
But there'll be copies waiting in every
spot. But I'm going to send them here, and y'all can go through them. Have at it. For the love of all things holy, have at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hindsight. I get it. Here's what's in the document. Report it. I don't know why they were trying to spin it. I don't know why they were trying to shape an opinion on it if they were. The academic fraud was on Nutt. And the Tunsil stuff really to this day is not that damning. Ole Miss gave 3 scholarships to get Laramie Tunsil. Yeah, Hugh Freeze's arrogance on that cost him. Because he wanted the full-scale victory. instead of just saying, hey, I got my left tackle. I had to give up three scholarships. It worked. Turns out one of those scholarships been a pretty good player. Never thought I'd say it, but if Ole Miss, God almighty, if they didn't have Zedrick Woods, they'd be a mess in the secondary.
He's their best back seven player, give or take DeMarcus Gates.
Yeah. But they gave Laramie Tunsil a scholarship, they gave Alex Weber a scholarship, and they gave Zedrick Woods a scholarship to get Laramie Tunsil. It was a 3-for-1. Let's keep this real.
Nothing came out of draft night, and Laramie Tunsil is the most seen alumni out of any of those classes back in Oxford. All the time. Laramie around.
Yeah.
You can see Laramie whenever you want to see Laramie.
Robert Laquan don't come back.
No. Laramie's been to 3-4 games.
Minimum. Of the three kids, the one who I think feels the best about his decision to go to Ole Miss is Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil came to a place, he won a lot of football games, and he's a first-round NFL draft pick, and he plays left tackle for the Miami Dolphins.
It worked out.
He's all right. Hadn't played as well as he can play this season, but still okay.
Yeah.
Joe Shad with a big story on him, by the way, in the Palm Beach Post this morning, if you're interested. Yesterday, I think. It's about how he's telling Cutler to trust him, that some of their protection issues are Cutler not knowing his offensive line because he's new.
Yeah.
And that they're having a lot of breakdowns and things just because of a lack of continuity and comfort with each other. But
I can see that.
It makes sense. So.
Well, Cutler got hit a lot in Chicago. I mean,
a little PTSD going on with Jay, maybe. A little scar tissue. So let's go talk to Jeffrey in a second, as we do every Thursday, to go over picks and whatnot. Before we do that, tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They have Sildenafil, that $10 alternative to the $50 or $60 little blue pill. You can break it into quarters or halves, or take the entire pill if you got a big day ahead. TysonDrugs.com.
Why do I fill out the form every time at that line?
Fill out the form, or give them a call, 662-252-2321. They'll mail it or they'll deliver it to you if you're not local, and they will get the prescription ready if you give them the doctor's name. So TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
All right, I'm going to work on not laughing at this ad anymore. You used the phrase, take the whole pill if you have a big day ahead. Define for me what would constitute a big day ahead.
They're going to go to, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond, Home Depot if there's time. I don't know. You know, just a fun afternoon, maybe some brunch on the way to Home Depot.
I mean, a fun day ahead in the context of that discussion would mean doubleheader, a triple header, or what are we talking about?
Well, I don't know.
God, I know your mother listens to this podcast.
Well, no, it's not really that. It's.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we're talking about for one performance, right? Because it's not going to help decrease the lag time, correct?
I don't know, so I'm asking you. You always say, take the whole pill if you have a big day ahead.
Or if you just really need the extra juice, I guess. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Would the whole pill change?
I'm telling you, it's designed that you can only take a quarter or a half if you so desire.
If you normally,
I guess you should test it out. I guess you should take the whole pill. Then
if
the next
you normally
time you
throw
take
an
89-mile-an-hour
fastball.
Yes.
And you take the whole pill. Are you going to throw 94?
Maybe that's what it should be, is like on the pill. You know, on a quarter of it, it should have like Greg Maddox's name, and then on the other two sides, you know, it's whomever, and then.
Let me ask this way:
okay,
if you're normally Brady Anderson before the steroids, and you take the whole pill,
you become 51 Brady Anderson. Maybe
you become a lot bulkier.
Correct.
Is that right?
There's yes. Move on. Tell me about anything else right now.
our Neil's picks are up on the site. We'll talk about them in a minute with Jeffrey. They're brought to you by Vitamend. Vitamend is at 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. Same IVs and shots as before. As I tell you, me and the interns, we go every week. We go to the cryo sauna. We hop in the infrared sauna. We get our overserve treatment, and then we hit the smoothie bar, and then we head on back to Neil's Picks Palatial's Digs. First, we always call the number, make sure they're there. We say 662-638-3600. We'll send them an email, info@vitamin.com. It's all good. Podcast is, we might need some insurance by the end of the day. Podcast brought to you by State Farm Agent Romero Miller. You know who Romero is. Romero, in addition to being a former Ole Miss quarterback and a really good guy, is also a insurance agent who can write insurance throughout Mississippi and Tennessee. If you need insurance in Mississippi or Tennessee, you should go to Romero, and here's how you do it. RomeroMiller.com. You can go on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm. You can send him an email, romero@romeromiller.com. It's located 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. His phone number is 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for our listeners, Rebel Grove subscribers. It's a $500 savings. Give him a call today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. So, Jeffrey, Jake, thanks for joining us this morning. We're getting into picks. We're getting into lines and all that. I have to do a couple things first, one toward Neil, one toward you. You told me yesterday that you were grinding through an 18 holes of golf, and for the second time, you have injured yourself sleeping. How did you wake up this morning? How are you feeling about yourself? Because we've done a lot of things where we feel a little inferior, a little weak. You know, have some rough days. Injuring yourself sleeping twice though is kind of a new low high for you.
Right. I did also follow it up with like when you threw out the I hope you understand like this is pathetic. Like I did follow it up with, I'm not in denial. Yeah. Like I'm fully aware like how this is because I think Neil and I did a beer garden the first time it happened, and I have no idea. Like it's just like I woke up about 6-7 days ago, and I can't turn. Like it's down my left hand side, and I can't turn. And so the fact that I was still out there able to make a good pass at it and really just start, I really hit the irons well. I don't want to say that I'm exactly like Steven Strasburg, but again, the evidence does support the claim that I've been bullied into playing. And the last two rounds, I shot 79 and 81. So you do the math.
Yeah. So speaking of,
can we not say his name? The Cubs are going to lose a divisional series because of Mother Nature.
No. Really, like you can get mad at Mother Nature all you want. He legitimately got internet bullied into making a start. Like I started thinking about this last night. Chase, I want your opinion.
How good would he have been if he'd wanted to pitch?
If this is 2000 and let's say this is just 10 years ago. Let's say this is 2007 where Twitter isn't big and, you know, blogging is on the horizon and some people are doing it, but it's certainly not, you know, it's certainly not like creating like massive waves. Does Steven Strasburg pitch yesterday?
No.
I'm telling you, Neil, he got internet bullied into pitching.
Believe me, I know.
So you can't be mad at God. You have to be mad at, you literally have to be mad at every Twitter egg.
Yeah, it's frankly the .com bubble that has done this over the last 17 years.
It's the blogosphere.
Yeah.
It's all those people in their parents' basements.
Is there any question at all Scherzer's going six tonight?
This was what I was trying to look up yesterday. What are Scherzer's numbers on short rest?
On because 2 days rest? I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's ever done it.
I wanted someone to this is the thing. I'm not trying to throw this out there because I don't know. I swear I remember Scherzer trying to pitch once on short rest and it didn't go well. And so that was my only thinking. And Hendricks is obviously rested. And Hendricks is, to me, Hendricks is incredibly underrated.
What the hell was Madden doing yesterday pitching Lester in a game where they were losing? I know it was just 1-0, and they were an out away from getting into the Nationals bullpen down 1-0.
That's it. I mean, that's, to me, that's it. Like, you have to, like, because Chase and my buddy O'Keefe said the same thing. It's like, why are they doing this? And I was like, well, if you keep it 1-0 and if you get into the Nationals bullpen, that's like, that's what you want. Like,
you need one
if you
run.
Keep it 1-0. Like, that was your best chance. And the truth be told is I think he didn't want to see, I don't think he wanted to go to game five.
No, he didn't want to go back to game five and risk it. You know, I knew early on when Russell crushed a ball that on a different day hits the freaking scoreboard and the wind knocked it down. I was like, oh my God. Because the Cubs are that team. It's two things always strike me about playoff baseball. One, whatever your weakness is, it gets magnified. And for the Cubs, it's been two things. They're home run reliant. They hit a lot of them, but when they can't get the ball out of the ballpark, they have a hard time manufacturing runs. And then the second was the eighth inning. They have blown more eighth innings. 1-0 turns into 5-0, and there's your ball game. It was just bizarre. But Zobrist hits a double that probably should have been a triple, and if he gets to third, he scores on the sac fly. It's just crazy. One of those days.
It is the one thing that is fascinating about playoff baseball and baseball right now. With so many teams more or less doing the exact same thing, which is throw it as hard as you can, get a bunch of strikeouts, and then hit it as far as you can. Hit a bunch of home runs. Like, you look at teams like the Astros, while they obviously have power and they have power arms, like, you look at it statistically, they strike out the least.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they're the team that, to me, looks the best thus far. Like, I don't think that's really coincidence. I think, like, if everyone else is kind of doing the same thing, if you're the team that probably puts the ball in play more.
They manufacture, for a team that plays in a bandbox, and it would be so tempting to build around power, they manufacture runs as well as anyone.
Well, the other aspect of it is, and what I think kind of gets left out, when you've got a guy on the mound that's just striking out everybody and everything's just strikeout, 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 defense is always on their heels, man. Like, we've all been there. Like, when you've got, think about when you're in high school and you had your ace on and the guy that struck out everyone. You're sitting there in the outfield or you're sitting there in the infield and you're like, okay, well, because at best you thought like it's just going to be like weak contact. Like, you're just never really on your heels. And a team like the Astros, which just doesn't strike out, like, I feel like that's like a really good formula right now.
I can get to lines in 1 second. First, though, help me out here. Yesterday we introduced this thing we're going to do. We're going to make Neil play 18 holes of golf and count a real score. 18 holes, whatever the score is. First, how do we do this from a – we have to do it somewhere other than the country club, right? Because he can't get off the tee. He's going to lose too many balls. And B, what's the over-under on score here?
A, you have to do it somewhere where you're going to have like 6 hours. All right? So that's number one. B, I guess you could go do it at the university course, although I'm not
but
sure.
But you
that's
don't
a
have the time for that. The tee times are too booked.
That's back to point A. Is he going to like hit balls at any point before, or is it just going
to
be like?
Yeah, I'll have to go.
No, like, yeah, we're going to go to the range. We're going to do something like that.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to have to go figure out how to swing a club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I literally have not swung a golf club, well, except for one swing. I've not swung a golf club in 17 years.
Yeah, I was there for that one swing. It did not
scary.
Go well.
No, it didn't.
You literally made one swing and almost killed somebody. Like, it was that impressive.
I hit the ball hard.
He's got good hand-eye coordination. It is one of those situations where I do feel like if he hits balls for like a week and a half, 10 days, he's going to kind of have that eureka moment where he figures, like, there's going to be that one swing where he figures out how to kind of manufacture something. And so I could see him, to me, the over-under's like, because he won't know how to putt.
He won't chip at all. He'll skull stuff across the green.
Chipping, putting, like, It's going to be like, I'd put the over-under at like 150.
Oh, holy hell.
Neil thinks he can't break 180, and he doesn't realize how many strokes 180
is. Yes, it is. It's 10 strokes a hole. 18 times 10 is 180.
Yeah, but
it's not complicated.
Like, you got to remember, like, there's going to be some 140-yard holes where if you make 10, like, that's...
It's almost impossible.
Oh, you just don't understand.
I will say this to Neil's point. Like, are we... Like, is the United States Golf Association governing this event? Because, like, if you and I go out and try to play, like, a U.S. Open course with USGA rules...
Yeah, at 15 shots.
Yeah, I mean... I still think one if he like puts any type of practice effort into it, I still think it's going
to
be
where the 180 comes into play is he's going to have a hole where he has like a 22.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
because he hits seven balls off the tee out of bounds.
I think you should put a stroke max on it.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. But anyway, you can come down. We'll do some videos, make a day of it.
I mean, I don't care being ridiculed.
I freely admit I don't have the time or the resources to play golf. I'll admit it.
Golf is resources gets thrown out too liberally. Like, it's not.
I can't afford to join a country club and go play golf. I really can't.
It's not that. It's the fact. It is time. Like, I wish people would just stop acting like golf is like. As human beings, we do what we want to do, and we spend money on what we want to spend money on. Spending. Done the budgeting of without. If I don't, I find other ways to spend the exact same amount of money I'm on.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So anyway,
you guys know my schedule. Please tell me where on a given day I would find 3 hours to go play golf.
Time is a legitimate concern for you, like, because it's even if like you're, you know, it's 4 hours at the bare minimum, and not everybody has 4 hours.
All right, let's get into picks. It's just right now. Last week. We all went. Chase and I went 5-1 overall. You went 6-0. You and I, Jeffrey, went 4-2 against the spread. Chase went 3-3. I made an administrative decision. We all had the push on Ole Miss, Auburn. Right. I just gave us all a win.
Yeah. Well, no, it was 20.5. Did you not get it 20.5?
Okay. Well, it was 20.5. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Here we are. Season standings. Jeffrey is in the lead. He is 49-9 overall. 27-20 against the spread. I am 48-10 overall, 26-21 against the spread, one game back in both categories. Chase is tied with Jeffrey for the overall lead at 49-9. However, he is three games back of Jeffrey and two games back of me, 24-23 against the spread. There's not much disagreement this week because the slate sucks.
Yes.
BYU getting 23 points at Mississippi State, 11 a.m. SEC Network. We all have the Bulldogs winning and covering.
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Can we discuss for just a moment how impressive it is to have only played six games, and in those six games, including one game in which you stayed 1 point within the line, to be on average 14 points worse than the line every single game. Can we discuss how impressive that is from BYU?
It is. They are like, consistently crappy.
They are consistently two touchdowns worse than Vegas tries to make them to be. Like, that is impressive. Week in, week out, they are two touchdowns worse.
They're actually beating Vegas.
Like, consistently.
Yeah.
This is the one where if we could have gotten this on Sunday, we really should have locked. Because I think this thing opened at like 19. I could have enjoyed those four extra points because State is going to maul them on Saturday.
Yeah, but State's also not going to do like what Gus Malzahn did. Like, State's not going to just sit there and go, all right, boys, we're going to run it every single down against eight-man boxes. We're putting in all of our second and third team defense. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not what Dan does.
People don't realize how aggressively – we'll get to it in a minute – but how aggressively Malzahn moved on in the third quarter Saturday.
I do.
I do, too. It's and I get why people here don't get it. They don't want – maybe we're going to get to that game in a minute, but, man.
What did I text you at half?
That you were worried about Auburn just closing shop.
When it was 38-3, I texted you and I said, I know exactly how this is going to go. Ole Miss was going to have the ball with 5 minutes left or so and they were going to have the ball with a chance to cover.
Yeah, and it's not minimizing what Ole Miss did, but it's just no, it's just
how those games go.
Yeah, Gus looked at the schedule and said, "We've got a really big one starting next week. Let's get out of here." When Freeman, the offensive guard, I think Horton, the offensive guard, had the little knee scare.
Yep.
That was like sober moment.
That was all she wrote.
That was driving down the road with a little buzz, and there's the blue lights. And you go, oh, God, I've never been more sober than I am right now.
Yes.
South Carolina gets 2.5 at Tennessee. The computers, fellas, love the Vols. None of us do. We all have South Carolina not only getting the points but winning straight up. I've got them winning by 4. Chase and Jeffrey both have South Carolina winning by 7.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I mean, we've all seen the computers. They love them. But I had that kind of epiphany moment yesterday when I was driving into work and I was thinking about lines as I'm prone to do. The computers have liked Tennessee all year. Like, remember when the Georgia line came out at 10? The computers thought like Tennessee, like some even had Tennessee capable of winning. But most of them had that like a 5-point line. And so a lot of people jumped on that thinking it was a bad line. No, not this hero. You've seen this, Neil, time and time again. When teams do what Butch Jones is doing, like he's spin zoning so hard he can't even like keep his spin zones correct. He said, you know, twice he's gone 3-2 and won 9 games. Well, he's only won 9 games twice at Tennessee, and he was 5-0 last year. So like, he can't keep everything straight. So this is disaster written all over it for me. So to me, like I'm just going to keep betting against Tennessee.
Take a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you about MasterCuts, Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area, or all of North Mississippi with Skeeter Beaters, the way to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes. Job 2, large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. Even get close to holiday season because they do holiday lighting. So for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And if you sign up for an annual contract, mention the podcast. First cut is free.
The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi, and they have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell them that you heard about it on the podcast. And you can get Rebel Savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, maybe you're looking for a lease deal, it's perfect. It's get 1990s prices on a 2017 vehicle. Again, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by the Oxford Park Commission. It may be the start of maybe football season, but it's never too early to start thinking about hoops. The start of registration for youth basketball in the Oxford Park Commission was back in September, but you can still sign up now. Sign up your son or daughter in all the different leagues that are open for children ages 5 to 15. The cost is $50 per child. Games will be played in the Activity Center on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday mornings. For more information on registration or other classes and programs offered by the OPC, visit www.oxfordparkcommission.com. Now back to our interview with Jeffrey Wright. You know, you're there. You see, you're having to kind of keep up with Tennessee more than you would have if you were still here.
Yeah, the Vols aren't back, but I'm back having to pay attention to the Vols.
They've got at Alabama and at Kentucky in the next 2 weeks. Now, they're not winning in Tuscaloosa, and everyone knows it. But there's a real solid chance they don't win in Lexington either. And if they don't, what's the – no hyperbole. What does he have to get to survive?
Okay, this is why I hate – this question, and I'm not saying that I'm dodging it because you and I have discussed it. It's really easy in September and October to go, all right, if he just gets to 7-5.
Oh, yeah, I know. Exactly.
Like, it's really easy to say that because, as I always point out, well, you haven't played everyone. And more importantly, you haven't gotten your ass kicked by everyone. And if you're sitting there at 7-5 and Alabama, you know, in Georgia and Alabama combined to beat you 120 to, I'll give them a field goal, 120-3. Like,
it's the Auburn argument. It's why when people talk about Auburn and Gus Malzahn and they go, well, you know, if they win 8 games, the problem with, and this is why Gus got his starters off the damn field. He knows at the end of the year, it doesn't matter what all he did. Rationally, you'd go, hey, you know, they've had a nice season. We're 9-1. We've had a nice year. But if then Georgia pops you and Alabama just spanks you, I mean, bends you over and just blisters you, the fans walk out of there going, I can't do this anymore. I want to change.
Well, more importantly, it all just comes back to, like, when you're in August and you're September and you're setting a win total for a coach, you're a little more reasonable. After you've gotten your ass kicked for 4 weeks against the four teams that matter the most, you're not really reasonable at that point.
It's you go into a postseason like me, I say, hey man, we won the World Series last year. I don't care what happens. And then yesterday, I'm ready to kill somebody. It's fandom. And that's what for colleges. It in the college game, if you lose the fan base, you lose the money, and if you lose the money, you're done. And so here's the better question then: how? It looks to me from the outside looking in, and I realize you're not on the inside, but you're closer to the inside than I am. It looks to me like he has lost the fan base.
Yes, that is entirely true. And the numbers showed it. Like, what was the last home game? They were already down like 12 to 15,000 people. It's over. Like, that's the question. Like, that's my other deal. Like, so when people ask the question, it's over. Let's all get it. Like, and the thing is, what the weird thing for me is, even the administrators at Tennessee know it's over, but there's like this idea that if he can just get to 7-5, we can save this. It's like, save it for what?
Because he's got this recruiting class coming in. That's what everyone's doing. Everyone's doing the oh man, with Rivals and 24/7, he's top 10 class, and if we fire him, we're gonna lose these kids.
Okay, well, hang with me here. All right, y'all, I am. Thank God, I am a little bit removed from this. Tenth in the Rivals rankings is what, fifth in the SEC?
Yeah, roughly.
I mean, he's running into the same problem Mark Richt ran into. Mark Richt would always have a top 10 class, or, you know, to the end, I guess he had a couple of 15s and whatnot. But often, Mark Richt would have a top 10 class, but he was still behind Alabama, he was usually behind LSU, and he was usually behind Florida. So guess where that left him? Fourth in the SEC.
Yeah, fourth in the league. Yeah, that's not good enough.
So if you're Tennessee, I get it. You're like, hey, he's doing well. It's like, well, relatively, he's not. Like, relatively, he's doing about what you'd kind of expect. And Georgia has clearly passed you by. And let's also, like, that's the other thing that Tennessee can't get real with. This isn't 1997 anymore. Georgia's not at an all-time low. In fact, Georgia's at an all-time high. South Carolina is not a winless South Carolina program. Kentucky and Vanderbilt are not horrible football programs anymore. So you can't just basically do the deal where you run the gauntlet, and then if you beat Florida and you beat Alabama, you know, you're on. And by the way, in the late 90s, Alabama was at a program low. Like, this isn't, like, use some perspective. Like,
so why is it perceived out there, and it is, that Tennessee is this great job? Because this hot take, I don't think Tennessee's a great job.
Well, I mean, what are we talking, like, relatively in the conference? Because I do still think it's a top 15 job.
Okay, top 15, but in the SEC East, Georgia's a better job, Florida's a better job. In the SEC, Alabama's a better job.
Yes.
LSU's
a better job.
Right.
You could argue A&M's a better job. It's an interesting argument. But I would argue A&M and Tennessee are a lot alike. I mean, there's to me,
that would be personal preference.
Yeah, and there's an expectation because when Phil Fulmer had the machine going, they recruited at such a high level. They recruited Peyton Manning and all of those guys.
SRT, right?
Yeah. But they haven't done that since.
Nothing to do with anything else other than Tennessee was a storied program and kids wanted to run through the tee and, you know, the dreams of maybe standing on that ladder and leading Rocky Top.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right, we got to hustle because we're running out of time. You got stuff to do. You got to work. You got a job. Auburn minus -6 at LSU. It's 2:30 on CBS. We all have the Auburn Tigers and we're all laying the points. In fact, we're all laying them quite comfortably. We're not buying LSU at all.
Duh. How was that live in person last week? That's like my biggest, that's what bothers me the most about not working for you anymore, is I don't get to go to stadiums and listen to the fight songs.
Auburn does all the fight song stuff really well.
Yes. For a somewhat cultish place, I will give them credit. Their pregame is awesome, and that fight song kicks ass.
Yeah, the eagle flying around and doing the war.
It's so awesome. Right?
It is. So do we figure out, is it a bald eagle or is it a the other kind of eagle now? What was it?
I don't know. It looked like a bald eagle because I know this. I felt freedom and I felt democracy and I felt the protection of my country when that thing was swarming around.
Someone got a picture of the eagle flying in the air and the American flag is right behind
it,
framed perfectly. And I wanted to just take that and put it out front. And when someone says, why'd you use that picture? I'd say, why would you not?
Well, you're kidding. No, you also got to get, first off, that has to be your backdrop. And then Neil, you've got to get like a 10-foot American flag with the trident post. And I need like that to be your background and your figurative hair flowing in the wind with you just planting that flag just behind you with the bald eagle soaring above.
God, it was majestic for just a moment. All right. Vanderbilt.
It's not good. Like let's establish that LSU's not good.
No, they're not good, and they're having meetings. When I hear that they're meetings with coordinators and the AD in October, I go, oh God, can't.
Half of Florida's team had to have a felony for LSU to keep it within a score. Allegedly.
Vanderbilt +3 at Ole Miss, 2:30 SEC Network. I mean, I will tell you, as a local fan site reporter, this is difficult for me because everyone knows in the field that I'm very biased towards Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Vanderbilt winning by a single point, and you two, you bastards, you both have Vanderbilt not only getting the 3 but winning by a full touchdown. Explain yourselves, both of you. God, don't you know we're here to help the program?
It takes a little while for me to get some sense. However, I picked Ole Miss to cover against Cal and Alabama. At some point, you learn, from your mistakes. And looking at this analytically with any type of advanced metric, Vanderbilt's just better. I mean, you know, Ole Miss is at home. Either team could win this football game. But Ole Miss can't run or stop the run. Vanderbilt's at least going to attempt to run. They do have a capable running back.
Once the vault is locked.
Yeah, yeah. And I just don't know that Ole Miss is going to score enough on that secondary because the secondary for Vanderbilt, pretty competent. They're not great, but they're pretty competent. And if you're one-dimensional, I just don't know that it's enough against the Doors on Saturday.
I was explaining this to a buddy that runs a CBS's, that show like where we all call in and you give the score update.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vanderbilt is the best bad team in the SEC. And where everyone freaks out about Vanderbilt is when Vanderbilt plays Alabama and Georgia, they have no chance because athletically they're just never going to match up and they just get completely and utterly exposed. But let's not kid ourselves. Ole Miss and Alabama or Georgia. And you look at what you look at what Vanderbilt does well, which is they want to get into the play action game. They want to throw to their tight ends, and they want to basically pick on linebackers and safeties. What are Ole Miss's two worst position groups on defense?
I think they're great everywhere.
Right, totally, yeah.
But linebacker and safety.
Did you go to the Booster Club last night?
I did. I went to the local Rebel Club meeting.
Okay. You're a good Rebel.
I am. I'm going to be a land shark for Halloween.
Too soon.
Sorry. Linebacker and safety are the two least great spots.
Okay, now let's flip it to the other side. In 2015, I would say Chad's two worst games were probably Florida and then Vanderbilt at home.
Yes.
Okay. Taking out emotion and whatnot, what did Vanderbilt do to Ole Miss's offense after the first two possessions last year?
Completely shut it down, and they had Shea Patterson totally confused.
Other than one quarter against Texas A&M, and I guess you could say the second half against Auburn's, excuse me, their very talented scout team. What has Shea basically looked like all year? Are we in start number 9?
The word I would use is harried.
Okay. Derek Mason's had very good plans for both of them. I actually feel pretty good about this. Matchup wise, everyone goes, well, Ole Miss can just outscore them. Ole Miss hasn't really been able to outscore anyone under this offense unless Chad Kelly was playing quarterback. And even Chad Kelly couldn't just outscore Vanderbilt. This team puts up about 17 points a game when they play major college opponents. That's what this offense roughly puts up.
Yeah, and they don't create turnovers on defense. They just don't create them. All right.
You talked about this. It's like when y'all say bad eyes, bad fits, or when the coaches say that, like y'all talked about this. To create turnovers, you have to be in position.
Yeah, you have to have speed. There's a lack of speed. It's like when they get into recruiting, when this new staff comes in, they've got to recruit speed. They've got to get faster.
Todd Spees ratio?
Imagine that. All right, Texas A&M. To me, this is the most interesting game of the week, and we got to hurry because you're running out of time. Texas A&M gets 3 at Florida. We're all going with the dog, in this case, the Aggies. I've got them by 3. Chase has them by 4. You've got them by 6. We're all going Aggies in the points.
Florida can't score, and I do think everyone talks about like McElwain being lucky in these close games. I do think good coaches win close games. I do think that's usually a pretty good hallmark. Like when you look at competitive games, does he win more than he loses? So I do think that's weirdly that I do think is something that works in McElwain's favor. The problem is the reason why they're close games is because he doesn't really recruit that well and doesn't have a quarterback. But to me, A&M's just better. Like they're better. I don't care if they're on the road, whatnot. Like, they're better. They're going to be able to run the ball. The only hang up that I have is the fact that they played Alabama last week.
Yeah, it's that even more than the home field, because Florida's not a difficult place to play. It's quiet. It's overrated from a fan base standpoint. So
Neil and I would disagree with that.
Really?
2015, that's one of the loudest stadiums I've ever been in.
It really did get loud that night.
Did it really?
But I've been in it a bunch of times when it was kind of, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. But that night was one of the loudest places I've ever been.
They were geeked up for Ole Miss that day. I will give them that for that place from 2 hours before kickoff until
really
the completion of the ass kicking. It was rowdy.
Huh.
But yes. It is not to your defense, yeah, Chase, yeah. It is not typically rowdy.
Yeah.
Arkansas gets 30 at Alabama. We're all laying them. I would have laid 40.
I agree.
Chase, by the way, you got to go in and finish your pick. You've got Alabama 48, Arkansas blank.
Maybe that was on purpose.
Okay.
No, it wasn't, but okay.
Well, you're laying the points. Yeah. And then speaking of laying points, Missouri getting 31 at Georgia, 6:30 SEC Network. I've got them laying the points.
It's the garbage time degenerate special of the week.
Chase does not lay the points. Chase has Missouri covering the 31-point line.
Wow, 2 weeks in a row, Chase. That's bold. You literally think Missouri's going to cover for a second straight week?
It's 31 points. I just had a hard time doing this.
Kirby Smart is not trying to make friends.
He's like Dan Mullen with talent right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his defense, you can't score.
Kirby Smart has to start thinking about something.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, you're right.
No. He needs to blow people out.
Style points
to get in at 11-12-1.
To get in at 12-1 as the 4 seed, he needs style points to create an argument for. Hey,
he's got
to
create the Alabama LSU 11 argument
where they only lost one game. He needs to play well in the SEC title game and be respectable. Maybe be respectable plus. You know, sometimes you order medium rare plus.
That's what I do.
They need plus. They need respectable, not so bad, plus. And if they do it at 12-1, where the committee looks back and goes, man, they beat the hell out of Florida. They beat the hell out of Tennessee. They beat the hell out of Missouri. They beat the hell out of fill in the blank. People go, well, you know what? I mean, the only team they lost to is Alabama, and Alabama just beat the Eagles.
Not the Eagles, the Giants.
The Giants, they beat the Giants, yeah. Poor Eli, he just couldn't handle himself against that defense.
Hopefully he didn't play.
There is motivation for Kirby Smart to beat the hell out of people.
Are they really going to? Because I agree with you on that. But if Alabama goes undefeated and Clemson goes undefeated, are they really, after Alabama was ranked number one the entire year, are they really going to put Clemson number one in the playoff? Because if
Kirby does that to stop a rematch?
Where are the locations this year? That only matters
that the number one team gets the location.
That's what I'm asking. So where is the Sugar Bowl?
It's the sugar and the rose. So Alabama would get, if Alabama's the number one team, they get the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. If you told me that they sent Alabama out west as the two to avoid the 1-4 matchup, I'd buy it.
Yeah, but I thought they're just supposed to pick the four best teams and rank them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When did you become such a rule-following idealist?
Well, I mean, that's just what they tell me, and I believe what they tell me.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, the NCAA basket, you know, they formed a committee now to look into.
Don't y'all think? That's gonna clean it up. Don't you think, like, that showed some great initiative and really, like,
I mean, there's lots of bureaucrats on that list that know nothing about college basketball recruiting, but they're going to fix it.
No, didn't you see John Thompson's on there?
Oh, okay.
You know, the guy that got fired at Georgetown because he couldn't get players?
Mark Emmert's on there himself. That's how you know it's a real
committee. That's how you know they're serious.
Serious.
They're serious.
Institutional control.
Yeah.
Man. You met any volleyball coaches lately?
Not. I used to, you know, that used to be a deal at Pepperdine. I was big on the volleyball girls so that I could break the cycle and get the quarterback that I could never be.
Yeah. I just heard that was a journalist thing to do.
Uh-huh. I've been told.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm just a little fan-based journalist. It's hard for me to keep up with what the trends are. Yeah.
It's definitely a thing for Arkansas coaches to do.
I'd still hire him. All right, you got work to do. It's 8:25. Go have a good day. What's on your show today?
Today, coming up, we've got Stephen White of SB Nation talking the NFL, and DJ Palmore, Christian Brothers High School alum and Navy football captain. There are not a lot of guys that can say I was the captain of the Navy football team. He will join us at 10:25.
All right. You'll be on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden with me tomorrow. We'll preview NBA because I want to talk about the Grizzlies. I have some Grizzlies thoughts. You're going to have to talk about the Grizzlies a lot. And by the end of the year, I think people are going to be angry. And
I think you're probably right.
Probably justified. We'll preview the two series. We'll preview Nats, Dodgers, and Astros, Yankees. And we'll just talk. We'll talk some NFL with maybe. And you know what we'll use for our photo? We'll use a photo of the eagle flying in front of the flag.
I appreciate that. Right. Freedom.
Freedom. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us this morning. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. All your underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the flow down option. Locks in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, always with the personal touch. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, you should give Michael Oswalt a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in the state. Gotland.com is the website, got-land.com. If you're a buyer, Michael has the absolute biggest land inventory in Mississippi. There's a reason for that. People like to list with Michael. They like to list with Tom Smith Land and Homes. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, Michael will come to your home. He'll tell you what he does. He'll market your property. He will get it sold for you. Tom Smith Land and Homes, in the midst of its fourth straight record-breaking year, the market's hot. If you're on the fence, you're ready to sell, call Michael. He's ready to work for you. He's going to put his money where his mouth is. He's going to market your property. He's going to get your property sold. It's hunting season. It's bow season. It's a great time to look and to look for to buy or sell your recreational property. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
There's a volume button on the computer. You know, if you hit it, things get quieter, and bells and dings and things.
Well, I was trying to hit it, and I was hitting it twice. Man, you know, it's been a rough week. Going through a lot of stuff.
Okay, two things during our close. You want to start with baseball, or you want to start with the idiotic quote I see on Twitter? One or the other. Which one you want?
Idiotic quote on Twitter.
I'm guessing this is from an ESPN article. Jay Billis has tweeted it.
Okay.
Mark Emmert, head of NCAA, which we mentioned a minute ago with Jeffrey, he added, quote, "It's just really disturbing to see this code of silence. Everybody keeps saying, well, I'm not surprised. I've been hearing about it for years. Well, if you've been hearing about it, why didn't you report it, and why didn't you help us gather evidence?" This man would be a ball at parties.
Emmert?
Yeah.
Yes.
His own former director of enforcement is one of the dudes in the middle of this.
Yes.
Why didn't you all help us keep the integrity of the game going? You knew it. You didn't turn everybody in.
You know what he's saying? Why didn't you tell us so that we could have tipped everybody off and gotten it quiet?
Ooh.
You know the feds didn't tell them because of that.
Knew that they would intervene.
Do you trust Mark Emmert?
Not as far as I could throw him.
I would trust me going under 150 in a golf game before I would trust him. And by the way, on the rules thingy, if we do the rules, you'll have to be out there and informing me of the rules, because I won't knowingly break the rules. I don't know the rules.
No, I'll either play with you, or we'll me and someone else will be markers, and we'll just help you find balls and get through the course as fast as possible, whatever you'd like to do. My issue is finding somewhere where the course is easy and we have room and time, because normally those are not exclusive. So that's my issue, is I'm trying to figure out when and how to do this and how many balls to bring.
A lot of balls.
Well, you say that, but I still need a number. I still got to figure out how to cobble those together.
To be safe?
50.
50.
That's what I thought. I thought if we have 50, if you run out of 50 balls, we just stop. Because something has happened where this is not worth it.
It's not worth it. Let me go ahead and tell you right now, it's not worth it. I mean, allow me to go ahead and get that part done. I mean, I'm more than willing to go be your guinea pig. I'm more than willing to be laughed at. I'm more than willing to be made fun of. As I said yesterday, I don't own clubs.
I found you clubs.
I play putt-putt about once a year at the Pirate Course in Orange Beach.
All seriousness.
I'm pretty good at putt-putt.
Do you think that putt-putt translates to an actual golf green at all?
No, I know it doesn't. I am explaining to you the extent of my golf acumen.
I think
play
Jeffrey's
putt,
right.
Putt
I
once
think
every
will,
couple of years.
If the course is open without tons of out of bounds, you'll at least knock the ball in the general direction enough to not be terrible, but around the green could be just traumatic.
I'll have to go someplace and practice chipping.
Yeah.
I mean, if you told me I could go take a couple of golf lessons from somebody who would understand he sucks, the goal here is to try to get him to just sort of kind
just
of
swing the golf club in a general right direction.
To explain to me, here's generally how you do a chip.
We can do this.
I need someone with some patience and someone who's going to be – no expectations.
Right.
Here's generally how to grip the club. Here's generally how to swing. I'm pretty decent at learning. We're trying to crack 180.
The over-under is going to be lower than that. But
so, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not having any money on it. I'm just the guinea pig. Y'all can bet amongst each other. At the end of that round, I'm going to go drinking. Period.
You're going to win the 19th hole.
I am going to dominate the 19th hole.
Okay. What I was going to say, though, this is really just about sports in general. Ole Miss fans have dealt with this to a certain degree, even when they were, you know, the Sugar Bowl years and whatnot. Cubs won a World Series last year.
They did, thank God.
Most of the roster is still here, most of it.
Yeah, they're missing a couple of key spots, but yes.
From an MLB standpoint, the roster is fairly the same.
Yes.
As soon as that rain delay happened 2 days ago,
yep.
As soon as they got up 1-0 yesterday, you had thrown away the entire series.
Yes.
How long or how much would they have to win for you to be positive mindset when any type of adversity hits in the playoffs?
I don't know.
When does the scar tissue go away?
I don't know.
Because, you know, on contrast, when the Cardinals are doing something, Jeffrey expects to win.
Yes.
He does not get freaked out by issues in the playoffs with the Cardinals.
It was weird, and I said this to Jeffrey before we went on. Last night when the Indians lost, I have a lot of that series with the Cubs last year, the World Series, was so incredible. And so emotional and at the end cathartic and all of those things. That in the ensuing year, I can't believe I feel a little emotion saying this. You're reading your computer right now, so I don't know if you're listening to me.
I'm listening. Yeah.
I feel some emotion saying this as a person. I have, over the course of this season, cheered for the Indians some. Now, I like Terry Francona. I love watching Francisco Lindor. Kluber's incredible. But it went deeper than that. There was some sort of an attachment that I had to the Indians. When you think of how close they came to winning.
Well, Cubs and Indians were essentially the same from a tortured fan base last year.
Yeah.
And your team won and left them in a level of – I mean, let's be real here. At least from a fan base perspective, a level of devastation that as a Cub, you haven't even experienced that low.
Yeah.
Game 7, one inning away, essentially.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten there as a Cub. You had NLCS Bartman. You had different collapses.
But we won the World
Series. As tortured as the Cubs have been, you haven't had the Game 7 loss.
No, and so all year I've kind of felt for them. I've cheered for them. And yesterday before the Cubs game, I actually wrote this on the message board. I said way off topic, but I was conflicted on Yankees-Indians last night.
Saw this, yeah.
Now, my grandfather, who I never really knew, he died when I was 3. I have one memory of my grandfather, was a Yankees fan. And so I've always kind of had a little spot for the Yankees. And one of my very favorite Cubs ever is the Yankee second baseman.
Okay.
I love Starlin Castro. I think one of the coolest things that the Cubs do, that Anthony Rizzo does, his first at-bat every game at Wrigley, he uses Starlin Castro's walk-up song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So cool.
Why?
Because he respects him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
First time every game.
And It's cool. And I always like it. And when I go to Wrigley, I clap along with it.
What is it?
I don't even know it. I know it when I hear it, but it's kind of a Latin song. And
okay. And
it's got a beat to it. And you clap. And at the end, you go, woo, like that. And I always do it at Wrigley. And a lot of people do it. And I see people. I like Starlin Castro.
Okay.
And so I have reasons to like the Yankees. I like Joe Girardi. He's a former Cub. I have a soft spot for Aroldis Chapman. We don't win a World Series without him. I have reasons to like the Yankees. And I've said all along that if the Cubs were going to make the World Series again, let it be somebody but the Indians. I don't want the Indians. But if the Cubs weren't going to make the World Series, and when they lost yesterday, I said, we're not making the World Series. Maybe we beat the Nationals. I don't think so. But we're not beating the Dodgers. The Cubs, I mean, if you're the Dodgers yesterday, you were happy.
Of course.
Both the Cubs and the Nationals are burning their pitching slap up to get out of this series. And you're going to kick their ass. I mean, if the Cubs were to win tonight, if they use Quintana tonight, they're going to have to start John Lackey in game one of the NLCS. They're not winning it. Lackey versus Kershaw is sort of a mismatch. The Nationals are going to win tonight, probably have to use Max Scherzer on 2 days rest a lot. They're not going to have a real great shot at the NLCS. Anyway, I thought to myself, yeah, we're not going to get there. Kind of, maybe this, it'd be good. Maybe the Indians win and it's so good. When the Indians lost last night, it was almost, I didn't like cry or something, but I felt a literal sadness come over me. Watching them lose at the end, and I felt it, a legitimate sadness. And I'm not a Cleveland fan.
They've lost six straight games that would have clinched series.
Yeah. I've been there. When Dusty was with the, Dusty Baker has lost nine straight games that would have clinched series.
He's got another shot tonight.
Depending on what they do with the pitching. I mean, it's the Cubs handing the ball to Kyle Hendricks and going, you basically have to be perfect because the Cubs aren't hitting at all.
But you have the better pitcher. That's kind of my point. You lose last night to Strasburg.
God, his changeup.
You
incredible.
Still got the best pitcher in the series going tonight. I mean, should be fine. So
people are starting to say Scherzer is going to start tonight.
That'd be surprising, but
on 2 days rest. He threw 98 pitches 2 days ago on a bulky hamstring. It also tells you, I'll say this, tell me if I'm right. If you're Gio Gonzalez, if you're Tanner Roark, if you thought Dusty Baker trusted you.
The answer is absolutely not.
The answer is Dusty Baker doesn't trust us.
No.
Hey, Dusty, I know you got to win tonight to get to the next round. As someone who has watched his team get to the World Series and win it, you can't do it with two pitchers. You're going to have to go deeper than that. And one last thing as a Cub.
Yep.
Yesterday was probably Jake Arrieta's last game as a Cub. I'm going to miss that dude.
3 years, right?
3 years. It's amazing how you can get attached to someone from a distance at 3 years. But I went to a lot of Cubs games the last 3 years and saw him pitch a lot, and I'll miss watching him pitch.
Where's he going to go?
Yankees probably is a possibility. Boston's a possibility. Hopefully St. Louis is not a possibility. I don't want that.
Okay. Don't want him putting the bird on the bat. That's a harder pull.
Yeah.
Because you'd still even cheer for him at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And I mean, he's not going. He's going to a big market. But, I mean, I can cheer for Dexter, but I can't cheer for more than one of them.
There's a certain percentage of Cardinals that becomes a problem. Okay. We will be back tomorrow with Ryan Brown, as we do on every Friday. So appreciate Jeffrey taking time out with us this morning prior to his responsibilities with the Jeff Calkins Show. A good bit of stuff up at rebelgrove.com. Neil's picks are up, as well as Russell went out to Ole Miss softball yesterday. That's up on the site. Got some baseball stuff from yesterday morning. Basketball's up as well. So a full slate of things up at rebelgrove.com. Matt Luke talked last night. So check those things out on the site, and we will talk to you tomorrow.